We are Seth's sisters. I'm Callie.
And I'm Anna. Seth's ability to genuinely care about others, to strive for success, to shovel dirt and ride horses, is second to none. He's a natural-born silent leader, teaching others by the example that he follows. Callie and I, we ganged up on him a lot growing up, but he's always been somebody that we look up to.
Yes, Seth is our backbone. He's taught us so much by offering small bits of advice and philosophy, even when he was young. In fact, his third grade teacher called them Sethisms. And if you've spent any time with Seth, I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. But most of what Seth has taught us is about love and pure authenticity. He is such a force. And we thank the FFA for giving him this opportunity to spread this force far and wide.
As a family, we loved watching Seth grow, learn, and serve with you all this year. And we couldn't be any prouder. Tonight, Seth is delivering his retiring address entitled Your Greenhouse. Please help us welcome our brother and your National Western Region Vice President, Seth Pratt.
It's the first time I've ever tried public speaking. I'm at a 4-H fair. I've got to give a 2-minute speech about horses to one person, but I'm so scared my tears smear the handwritten notes I've taken, and I have to give the speech between heavy sobs. I'm 8 years old. FFA then becomes a huge part of my life, taking me from the Rose Parade to Washington, D.C. and Times Square, from coast to coast, 38 different states, 2 other continents, and allows me to meet thousands of the most incredible people. The experiences in this jacket have been the most unbelievable gift I never could have asked for. And by my watch, I've got about 43 hours left to wear it. After that time, I'll never wear this jacket again so long as I live. And while I can't say that I've learned everything and I don't have all the answers, tonight I'd like to share something that I have learned. Something that will last longer than the next 43 hours, something as important today as 40 years from now, and it's important to every single one of us. What I have to share is a concept. It's not a profound one. It's actually very simple. So simple I almost missed it. I learned about it for the first time on a winter morning in Idaho. December's when the cold weather... December's when the cold weather really starts to set in back home, and it's cold, the nights are long, the sky's gray. I'm almost blinded driving down Idaho country roads covered in snow. We live a ways out of town, so my sister and I, we drive carefully to get to the school each morning down these snowy highways. We drive a 1994 sky blue Ford Taurus. It's got more than 200,000 miles on it. Does anybody drive an old junker car truck like that? Then you know what I'm talking about. Like, very few things actually work well on this car, including the heater. So Anna and I freeze all the way to school, then bail out, grab our backpacks, and rush into the building to get warm. One morning after parking the car, I hurry across the cold parking lot to our chapter greenhouse. Opening that door releases a wave of warm air as I step into a beautiful tropical paradise. Bright light shines in through the transparent walls. The fans are running. Hundreds of red poinsettias are set on every table for our chapter fundraiser. The greenhouse is an oasis of warmth surrounded by the frigid winter. These flowers wouldn't last a minute out there, but inside this greenhouse is a perfect isolated climate in which the poinsettias thrive. Their environment is everything. That's the concept we'll talk about. Our environment, how it affects who we become, and how we can control it like the environment of a greenhouse. I thought Idaho was cold, but in April, I went to Alaska. Alaska's a state that if you cut it in half would still be bigger than Texas. Sorry, Blake and all your Texans. I can talk for hours about the Texas Convention, about the Alaska Convention. We had a frozen lake, we had snowball fights, a big tug-of-war rope in which we broke the rope. There was muskox farms and reindeer. But the most important moment happened after convention had ended. There were only a few of us left, so we drive up to this place called Hatcher Pass, to this big mountain lodge. The snow is 5 feet deep, but inside the lodge is warm. There's big glass windows overlooking the snow-capped peaks. It was a warm oasis surrounded by winter, a lot like that greenhouse back home. We chose a table and ordered a round of hot chocolates. I mean, it's Alaska, good friends, mountain lodge, hot chocolate. Can it get any better than that? Not possible. Maya, Lydia, Darian, Raina, and I start talking about all the cool FFA events we've attended, like conferences and camps, how the events open our eyes. We meet motivating people. They're all pumped up, high-fiving one another. And for a moment, life is this inspiring journey, the journey we always hoped it would be. Inevitably, though, that event comes to an end. We go back home. We go to our everyday lives. And within a few days, it's like that inspiration didn't happen at all. Our lives are boring or plain or maybe not the life we actually wanted. If you've never had this emotion before, it's going to happen in about 6 days. We'll all be back home, sitting at the kitchen table, eating Cocoa Puffs, reminiscing about convention when it hits you. Man, convention was awesome. Why can't my real life be like that? Powerful, purposeful, motivating. Can it? What if that inspiration wasn't an uncommon part of our everyday lives? What if, like those poinsettias, we could be in the right environment all the time? Maybe we can. Our environment has a lot of control of who we become. And we can choose surroundings that help us grow, like an greenhouse designed to grow plants. We can create a greenhouse designed to grow us. So let's take a little lesson from agriculture. I love agriculture, by the way. This year, I've seen effects of the environment on agriculture all across the country. In March, I got to go to Massachusetts and learn about cranberry bogs. Now, envision in your mind those Ocean Spray commercials with the blue ponds and all the red berries when they're harvesting and the guys in the waders. It's actually a lot like that. It's beautiful. Cranberries are a pretty unique fruit. They can only survive under a very special environment. They require an ample supply of fresh water, an acid peat soil, a growing season from April to November, and then a cold dormancy period in the winter months. In the early 1800s is when farmers began cultivating cranberries, and over time, we've gotten better at it. In fact, now we know how to create the perfect environment for cranberries to thrive. Because for those cranberries, environment is everything. And as the environment changes, agriculture changes. In Kentucky, I learned about tobacco production. I got to learn about cotton in Texas. Rice in Arkansas. And wheat in Kansas. Back home in Idaho. Back home in Idaho, we've got really sandy soils, which are important for, guess which crop? Idaho's got a lot of potatoes. In fact, I grew up in the number one potato county. My hometown's got the Idaho Potato Museum, and you know when you drive into most hometowns, and they got something like a cool water tower or like this awesome mascot statue for their high school? When you drive into my hometown, there is a giant concrete potato. It's got sour cream and butter on top of it. Every state's got their thing, right? I mean, the diversity in agriculture across America is a result of our climate affecting which commodities or specialty crops or livestock do well in that region. Corn yields are highest here in the Midwest. This year, though, we got hammered by one of the top five droughts in American history. And yet again, the power of the environment became apparent as you crossed the Midwest and watched green fields fade to brown, and the commodity markets shift in response. Even as excellent as our corn varieties are becoming, we still need water because environment is everything. Now, our environment doesn't just affect agriculture. Consider how it changes our everyday lifestyles, like the cars we drive. Changes the houses we live in. Even the work that we do. But I think those examples are just more of our environment changing our environment. So what about how that environment affects us as people? A large part of our own identity is a result of our environment, like the family we were raised in or the culture of our hometown. Consider how you'd be different today if you'd grown up with a different lifestyle, maybe one of deep poverty, one of great wealth, in a family with 8 siblings, or as an only child. Actually, let's think bigger than that. What if it's not even America? What if instead you grew up in Brazil? Would you speak Portuguese? How might it change your goals or your appearance? Our environment has a lot of control over who we become, for better or worse. When I first started school, it was really hard for me. I think it's because of the environment that I grew up in. So let me just help you envision some of my childhood. This is Seth Pratt, around first grade, maybe 6 years old. So I live a ways out of town. Our family ranch provides a lot of opportunity for adventure. Every day I go outside alone exploring, whether it's swimming in irrigation canals or hunting birds, riding horses. I've got 30 toy guns. No jokes. 30 toy guns with which I used to fight bravely in Korea and Vietnam. Actually, let me pause here for a second, because I used to think Korea and Vietnam were the two planets between Mercury and Pluto. Turns out I was way off, because Mercury's a car, Pluto's not even a planet anymore, and my guns were plastic. But my imagination was good. Okay, back to the story. So out there I have a lot of open space, a place to be alone with my thoughts, where I don't have to be an entertainer. And as a result, I'm pretty shy. I'm pretty reserved. Being quiet is just Seth's personality. It's really hard, though, now that I've gotten to school, because I'm struggling to learn how to read. In order to learn, you have to read aloud. And I don't want people to hear me because it's embarrassing. My girlfriends will laugh at me. Okay, pause again. Yeah, I say girlfriends with an S because, I'll admit it, I was a total ladies' man in elementary school. My first girlfriend was Ashley, and then Natalie, and then Candace. It seems so silly looking back. Like, we didn't sit together, we didn't hold hands, and we dang sure didn't pass love notes because I couldn't read them. My childhood environment, it made me pretty shy. I just remember learning slower than everybody else. The environment I was given, while it was great for a time, was no longer the environment that would help me grow and help me learn how to read. I needed a new place to be. I needed a new greenhouse. Thankfully, I had a first grade teacher who worked with me individually, and my mom set me down every night to practice. At the end of first grade, I received this little paper certificate that said, "Seth Pratt, most improved reader." Not because I was particularly good, but because when I started, I was horrible. And sometimes I wonder how it might have been different. Maybe if I'd grown up in town with a lot of other kids around. Or what if my first grade teacher had decided to give up on me? How about your environment? Are you surrounded by people to help you like my first grade teacher? Or do you have people around you who pull you down? You will become like those you're surrounded by. So choose friends wisely and just get out of destructive relationships. Life's too short for it. That YouTube video says, "Ain't nobody got time for that." I really just said that on stage. What's the best part of your current environment? How can you make more of that? When you're designing your greenhouse, pull out the weeds, let the light in, and choose good things to put inside. Our environment affects us both negatively and positively, so choose positive ones. Growing up surrounded by cows and mountains was an environment I loved. For my older sister, Callie, though, it was never quite the same. Let me just share a little bit of her story. Callie gets to high school and decides to join drill team. She falls in love with dancing. It becomes Callie's goal to make dance her life. She dreams of joining a dance company and living her passions while performing on stages around the world. The problem is, Callie lives in the little town of Firth, Idaho. Population 400-ish. It's a long ways from New York City. Callie's dreams seem very, very far away. We have zero world-class dancers back home. We may have a giant concrete potato, no world-class dancers. Callie's environment, it's not going to train a professional dancer. But Callie changed it. Callie decided to build a greenhouse in which her passions for dance could grow. It took a lot of time and only happened step by step. She found great teachers to learn from. She spent hours researching the art of dance, and she'd go to school 2 hours early every day to practice. That was the greenhouse Callie built, and in it, she begins to grow. She's chosen as the captain of the drill team and is accepted into one of the top 3 dance schools in America. It's been 10 years since she first set that goal. Today, Callie lives and dances in New York City. I have loved visiting her a few times this year, but I learned that city is not for Seth. For Callie, though, it's a place she can chase her dreams. Rather than change Callie's hopes and passions to fit the environment she was given, Callie built a greenhouse to help her grow and one day live the life she dreamed of. I don't have some story as vivid as going from Idaho to New York City or overcoming a disability or running marathons. I mean, but most of us don't really live lives like that. Maybe we're just more normal. But part of being normal means every day we still face challenges. I've always been the little skinny kid. Maybe you come from a small town too, or a small FFA chapter, or a dysfunctional family. The environments we're given, they're not gonna be perfect. So start building your greenhouse today. Cover your bedroom wall in quotes. Find pictures of your dreams being achieved. Write an empowering message across the bathroom mirror. Find a great, inspiring friend to talk to every Sunday. Carry a small notebook with you. Write down good quotes, books, ideas for projects, prayers, people you'd like to stay in contact with. And don't be afraid to say no to people or behaviors outside of your greenhouse. Because your environment doesn't have to be this outdoor field, the mercy of the weather. Instead, it's a greenhouse because it can be controlled. You choose the air temperature, the water type, the soil type, the fertilizer supply, the lighting, making your greenhouse accurately provide your own unique needs. In this world with doubt swirling all around us, build your own greenhouse and live by choice, not by chance. Be motivated, not manipulated. Make changes, not excuses. Be a creator, not a result. Listen to your own inner voice, not the jumbled opinions of everyone else. Every day there's 953,000 different things we could do, so make time for only the ones that help you grow, and spend time with only those people who lift you up. If you run into people who choose to insult you, just respond with silence. Now let's think back to Alaska. We're sitting together in that mountain lodge, reminiscing about events of the convention and knowing the reality we're going back to. But in that moment, something different happened. We realized realities can change. Maya, you were there, you remember this. We sat down and decided we were going to build greenhouses and make inspiration a part of our everyday lives. In these last 43 hours, my only hope is that each of you choose good things for your greenhouse. Don't waste this precious gift. You're already in control of it, because everything around you is a result of a choice you make. You chose to be here tonight. You choose the people you speak to and how you speak to them. The songs you listen to, how those messages change your attitude. The books you read, how those ideas change your thoughts. The songs you listen to, the television you watch, how those examples change your character. The goals you set, how hard you work for them, the cars you drive, the clothes you wear, the words you say, the love you show, the friends you have, the strength you gain. You choose how to spend Friday nights and Sunday mornings, how you treat your family, how you treat yourself, and whether or not you come to understand that how you live each day is how you live your life. The inspiration surrounding us this week does not have to stop. Make it part of your greenhouse. Choose what you'll do with this one wild and magnificent life, because who you become starts with the choices you make right now. So choose wisely. Thank you so much. Seth, our little Idaho spud. Over the past 365 days, not a one has gone by without you questioning the process. You always made us dig a little bit deeper into what we were doing, ensure our intentions were member focused, and move on. Thank you for that. We could always count on you for a smile, solid conversation, and serving members with a pure heart of gold. Thank you for being intentional, inquisitive, compassionate, consistent, and loyal. Grow always, Ryan, Kenny, Alicia, Jason, and Kane. Ladies and gentlemen, your 2011-2012 Western Region Vice President, Seth Pratt.